This is where the conversation begins.
Mornings with Paul Turton.
Now we're talking.
On ABC Newcastle and ABC New South Wales.
Have you got a pet in your life? You know, I've never loved an animal. I've had lots of animals around. I've cared for plenty of them. Never made the conscious decision myself to get a pet, but grew up in a family with pets. I've acquiesced with my own wife and children over the years. We've had guinea pigs and birds, and we've had actually, I'm not allowed to say that. We did have a tortoise, but apparently it's illegal to have them. So just delete that last little bit, if you wouldn't mind. But a lot of people talk about the change in their life, what an animal brings to their life. And the value of companion animals is well documented. We see pets in nursing homes and schools, mainly dogs, in some cases exotic animals, llamas, goats, that sort of thing. But what about the cat? How do you feel about cats? They can be, well, they create quite a dichotomy, don't they? Helen Brown is the author of a new book called Mickey, which she describes as the tale of a cat with too many toes, but also a cat that changed her life. How can that be? Author Helen Brown is with us now. G'day, Helen.
Hello, Paul. You sound like a repressed animal lover. I think you're protesting too much, all those animals you've had in your life.
Yeah. It is interesting, though, isn't it? And I just wonder if people like me are just too selfish that we don't open up and let animals into our life. Did you have to open up?
Well, it's more, I think animals actually choose us at times in life when we actually need them. And maybe that hasn't happened to you, or maybe it has in a way. You know, I mean, you say you haven't really cared for them, but you've fed all these at the zoo. You've had a zoo. And I think you should soften up and acknowledge what they've done for you.
Yep.
They've obviously made you a caregiver. And that is kind of what Mickey did for me. I was 12 years old in rural New Zealand in the 60s, and I was between worlds, and I wasn't yet a teenager. And I don't know if you've read the book, Paul, but my family was pretty eccentric. And I just felt alienated and lost. And I think my father, who's a very sensitive man, picked up on this, and he managed the local gas works. And one day he brought out this tabby with extra toes and let me keep it. And that was just a turning point for me, because it taught me to think about something other than myself. And it wasn't a mobile phone.
Helen, I used the famous Turton speed reading method to read your book, and the principle is the first page and the last page of every chapter, because I reckon if it's not in the introduction or the conclusion, it's not that important. But your dad's an engineer, right? So what? So getting introduced to a cat at that stage, and I'm curious about the book in regard to whether it's an autobiography or there's a bit of historical fiction there. Helen, did you embellish it all?
I had to a little bit, because some of the characters are a little bit overdrawn, and some of them are combinations of people. But, well, my main critic is my older sister. She's still my big sister, and she still lives in our hometown. And I asked her, I was terribly nervous. I wasn't sure I'd be allowed back there. But she said, she read it, and she said, no, that's how it was. I mean, we were that crazy. And the 60s were a fascinating time. They were a time of tremendous change that we, you know, cataclysmic change in every area, from food and fashion and this youth culture and this introduction of the idea of teenagers and women having control over their reproduction. I mean, it was a fascinating time. And even in our remote little corner of the world, we sensed it. And I needed some kind of stability with all that going on. And somehow or other, this cat provided that. He was a constant presence in my life, you know. And they say there's this new thing that people get, well, particularly teenagers, emotional dysregulation. It's a new thing.
Yes.
And that's trouble controlling your own emotions. Well, this cat really helped me in so many areas.
So tell us about Mickey the cat then. What was, apart from the extra toe, had an extra toe on each foot, which was amusing to read about, but why was it such an influence on your life?
I think it was just that he was beautiful, he was lost, just like me, and he was between worlds. Nobody wanted him. And it was up to me to take responsibility for him. And particularly because my mother loathed cats and we had to hide them from her because she was going through a tremendous emotional crisis trying to win a part in the local operatic society production. And she was highly, very highly strung. So we had to hide the cat from her. So that just added to my connection to him, really.
Is it something else to think about as well? You mentioned the challenges in your life, you know, approaching puberty and all the rest of it in a world that you don't really understand and you don't know your own place in it. When you switch the focus onto something else, does that help?
It does. And I think Mickey taught me how to love. And he was someone, he improved my social skills. He was someone to talk to and he listened without judgment. And I guess he was cheaper than a shrink. And in a way, he helped me make friends because he was something to talk about. I had a very bossy friend called Margaret, and I could tell her about my cat, and it gave us a connection, and with other girls at that stage too. And, you know, there was he helped me with a feeling of connectedness, and that's what we all, through COVID and now with all our technology, we all struggle with that feeling of having a community, really looking into the eyes of another living being and feeling connected to them. And Mickey did that for me then. He made me smile.
Mickey's just the conduit. Yeah, Mickey's just the conduit in this book, though, for a bigger story. And I'm really interested in your observations around the changing role of a woman and the challenges that your mother faced, for example. Can you talk us through that?
Oh, look, I really felt for my mum and her generation because mum was very bright and, gosh, just everyone has a woman like her in their family. She was incredibly bright when World War II came, and I don't mean this as a form of offence to any male, including you, Paul, but all the men went off to war and women got jobs they'd never had before. And she got a job in the local newspaper as a journalist, as a general reporter, not just a women's page writer. And she always spoke of those as the four best years of her life. And then the men all came back from war, well, most of them, and women were expected to revert and be part of the baby boom, put on an apron, make scones, look after their husbands, and have lots of babies.
You say that as that's a bad thing, Helen.
Well, it was not a great thing for my mother. You know,
yes.
In today's world, she would have been able to keep some of those aspects of her life. You know, she'd still be able to write the way I have been able to. You know,
well, it's choice, isn't it? You know, as opposed to having a predefined path, choices are presented.
Yes, but her choices were very limited after the war, as they were for many women. And I guess that was where feminism began, well, the second wave of feminism, you know, ultimately. And I think the pill helped a hell of a lot because she was in tremendous fear of pregnancy. And she always used to say to me, don't you have sex before you get married?
Yes.
And it was shameful. And my brother was gay, and that was a crime. He could go to jail if he came out, and my parents were terrified of all of that and tried to turn him into a manly man. So we had a hell of a lot going on.
Yeah. Geez, you don't know what you're going to get when you buy a book about a cat these days, do you?
Well, I hope you get a few laughs. It seems to be getting some lovely reviews in America, and someone called it a comedy drama, and I quite like that.
Fantastic. Helen, great to chat with you. Thanks for coming on today.
Oh, thanks for having me, Paul. It's been delightful.